Thanks. Can you hear me?
Welcome to the Grateful Shows podcast. Long-form reviews exploring the world of Grateful Dead live shows through history, philosophy, fiction, and poetic meditations. I'm your guide, host, and author, JY Pod, asking you to join me as we take a step back. This edition of the Grateful Shows podcast takes us back to March 25th, 1986, a Tuesday night, the Philadelphia Spectrum in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. We'll do the first set this episode, and then feel free to join us next episode for the second set. Shall we go? Grateful Shows tour book number 2, show number 6, a meditation on the Philadelphia Spectrum in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, Tuesday, March 25th, 1986. The Quest for Fire, set 1. Feel like a stranger. And in case you're wondering how they're going to top last night, they aren't. That's how. You said they were going to do it last night, but they didn't. What makes you so sure they're going to do it tonight? Brusque vibes, and we haven't even made it through the tuning. We don't feel like strangers. The third of 3 shows in Philly, and the 6th of 6 total shows. We're exhausted. We've aged, developed wrinkles, and acquired an attitude bordering on surliness. Not the ideal state for attending a Grateful Dead show. And we didn't even sleep last night. That's right. We spent the night dubbing tapes for random people and sucking on balloons. We traded a Mexican blanket for a thermos of coffee that didn't belong to us. We found a single sandal and wore it until dawn. One of those nights. Crazy. Crazier than the long, crazy night these guys are barking about on stage. Healy is engaging in some early mischief. His delay adds a cool, mysterious effect to the tune, as if you were inside a tomb beneath the pyramids. But it isn't enough for some attendees. Long, crazy night, huh? You think you can muster more than one tune out of space? Because that would be crazy, man. The Philly crowd is out in full force. They might as well boo early and get it over with. Jerry's spider fingers crawl up and down the fretboard to calm the irate locals. Music soothes the savage beast. And while there's plenty of music to be had, the beast quotient is also fairly high, so a stalemate is not out of the question. Jerry rephrases his approach. Bob flays on some random chords to hold them at bay, safely anchored by Phil's confident bass. And since this is Bobby's call, he uses plenty of punctuation to add to the story. Jerry tells it straightforwardly, with little emotion or regard for outside influences. Bob wails on the wailing notes, a signal that it is on. The effect is chaotic, yet has a definite order, presenting a coherent shape. Disappointingly so. Night 3 in Philly is looking like a night. Extract what you will from that statement. We didn't write it. Don't hold us liable for any mirth or lack thereof as the night progresses. Tennessee Jed. Dead space between songs, then a Tennessee Jed to maintain good favor. Warm music warms the heart and perhaps melts some butter on top of that short stack. However, it is an ordinary selection within an ordinary set under extraordinary expectations. There's bound to be an emotional tussle at some point. Perhaps Tennessee Jed's disarming tomfoolery is the necessary salve to quell such moments. Yeah, Jed's nephew Henry ran barefoot all the way to and from the pharmacy just to get a bottle. The prescription is from 1886, not 1986. Ingredients include sugar, cocoa leaf, and cola nut extract, opium, whiskey, and a pinch of mercury. Sweet Jesus, anything more than a spoonful will put you in a stupor and have you asking Jed if he needs any company when he gets back to wherever he came from, presumably 1886. This potent great-grandfather elixir is very good. So good that we fail to notice Garcia's vocal struggles. He sounds like how we are feeling. Not anymore, though. We're bound to join in on the chorus without inhibitions, even hitting the high, "Won't you carry me?" Now let's climb that mountain solo, throw back a fifth, and get ready for the next Bobby tune. But first, send out Lil Henry to hook us up with a half dozen bottles of Dr. Martin's indispensable Vitality Tonic, now with honey, and another fifth of that laudanum-infused snake oil. That should get us through the show. Tennessee never looked better. CC Rider. After a partial eclipse last night, the moon is shining brightly again. So put on your astrology hat and give us a reading, Mrs. Tarot Reader to the Stars. Not so fast, cowboy. Bob has chosen the blues. Speaking of blue, that wonderful indigo-colored tonic that we've skillfully carried across time, space, and musical borders into this fine, toe-tapping crooner is working its magic. We're still unsure which era or area code we inhabit, but with a beautiful moon in the sky, it doesn't really matter. We know Bob is in fine vocal form, though. We stumble along with his exaggerated enunciation, searching for excuses to slip out the back door. Who said affairs were easy? Brent has us on a string, like a dog on a leash. We stubbornly succumb to his pull, guided by moonlight and the trace of scattered musical notes from the dueling guitarists on stage. It's a stereophonic riot that will leave you with hair on your chest, regardless of gender. The dead reach deep and have us crying, "Uncle." Our arms are twisted, our tentacles are all in a knot, and the only cure is another drop of that snake oil. What a battle, a screech-a-thon. This CC Rider has featured plenty of interplay, a tug of war for the heart. They must have won, because even the slide failed to rub us the wrong way. Feeling no pain, nothing can bring us down. It's the tune of the night, and a clear sign that we are on the rise. Great job, boys. We needed that. It's Jerry's turn to take it to the next level. Without a doubt, it's Must Have Been the Roses, a great place to lie down. We need some space to get the old head together, my friends. Our great-grandparents clearly partied hard, as evidenced by this tonic, their womanizing, and the late 19th century wealth they siphoned from the average man. Tons of steel. "This next one's in the key of F, I think," says Bobby. "Be cautious with the F word, Bobby. It could lead to misunderstandings. For some, it's a matter of debating which transportation analogy works better for a woman, the car and trampled underfoot, or this out-of-control train. Now it's time to play America's favorite fun game, metaphor or cliche. Pass the doobies to the left-hand side. What goes up must come down. For every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. As we got the box of rain repeat, we also received a tons of steel. And that's all we have to say about this selection. Give it an F for effort." Must Have Been the Roses. Jerry teased this a song ago. He should have gone with it, too. The world would have been a better place. Hopefully, he can salvage this set with this subtle song of red romance. Itchy and scratchy voiced Jerry has his mind in the right place, but the execution leaves us wanting. Bob comes in late on the chorus, and I don't know, suddenly this set wobbles, threatening to swerve into mediocrity. It's almost as if anything less than a jackstraw ender might not be enough to salvage the thing. Dare we say this has turned into a bathroom break song? Oh, the sacrilege. More than a few fellow punters are thinking the same. A ribbon of humanity flows up the aisles and into the hallways. We aren't complaining, but there are so many better versions to be had, like most of them. The band sounds tired, sloppy even, searching for a spark in the darkness. You know, if we had spelled that incorrectly, we would be searching for a spank in the darkness, which at this point seems to carry more daring and excitement than the last two musical offerings. Now where'd we put those latex thigh-high boots? Desolation Row. The debut of Desolation Row. Most of us can't imagine the grand landscape this song will unfold unless we're true Dylan fans. We can't help but wonder whether Bob saw Jerry tackle the mammoth Visions of Joanna on the 19th and decided it was his turn to belt out a mighty tome of his own. The smattering of applause makes us wonder how many people are familiar with this, how many people cheer at the start of any song, regardless of title, and how many cheer because they follow the knowledgeable head right next to them who has already led them. Another song containing a novel's worth of ideas and words. Bobby, without a teleprompter, nails the story, much like Garcia and the Visions of Joanna. Go figure. Perhaps the boys take Bob Dylan's words more seriously than their own. Understandably, you don't want the boss to hear about your lapses from a third party. Then again, sometimes you get more lyrically attuned versions of Truckin' or Uncle John's in the Lot than at the actual show. It must be a hero worship thing. As the tune's timing drifts into double digits, it's debatable whether the boys have found a spark or a spank. Desolation Row is like taking a long walk along the beach while escaped circus freaks tell you their life stories. They are so captivating that we want to drop everything and join them at the end of the boardwalk. Given how this set keeps wobbling and shaking, this may be a good idea. Genuine concern has begun to creep in. It massages your shoulders, relaxing you, fooling you into thinking you are immune to its grip. But the opposite is true. Keep your muscles tight and your eyes alert. And remember, the time is indeed running out. Don't ease me in. The dead hit the first speedball they see out of the park. Problem is that a solo shot down by 8 runs in the 9th inning fails to move the needle. It's amazing how quickly a promising set can lose momentum. We refuse to believe that the Grateful Dead wants to merely crank out the bare minimum and get the hell out of town, but here we are, stuck in a cell, while our neighbor gets his conjugal visits, coffee, and tea, and all that other fancy stuff. We promise that if the second set doesn't get off to a good start, there's a serious chance he's going to get shanked just after dinner. No one likes a lucky prisoner. As an aside, this version of Don't Ease shaves 11 seconds off their previous record. It's enough to qualify for the Olympics, but we wouldn't call that a good thing. Next up, a triple jump to end the set. Stumble, trip, stop. Blech. So that does it for the first set. Thank you so much for choosing to spend time with us here at the Grateful Shows podcast. Be sure to tune in for the second set right here on Grateful Shows. See you next set. If this reading of Grateful Shows has given you something to sit with, I'd be glad to have you along for the rest of the ride. You can listen on whatever platform suits you best. The link is in the show notes. And if you'd like to go deeper, the written work behind these readings will be available as a complete tour book upon finishing the tour. Again, the link is below. A short note on Podchaser would mean a great deal at this early stage of the show's life. And if you'd like to receive occasional communication about the writing and what's coming next, the newsletter sign-up is in the show notes too. Thank you so much for listening.